There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fellas, we've all been there. Candles are lit, music is bright, and your special someone is feeling. As for you, maybe you got that feeling that it's a late November, early December game on a Saturday afternoon. It's raining, you know only 11,000 people will be there. So why bother? Well, that's why there's Blue Chew. It'll have you performing like a Heisman candidate, regardless of the current situation that you're in. You can take them any day, day or night, on an empty stomach, or full. And it works a lot faster because it's chewable. And we got you covered. Go to BlueChew.com, enter the promo code ARMCHAIR, and you'll get your first order free. All you have to do is pay $5 for shipping. So you definitely want that extra confidence no matter where the situation is. Rain or snow, day or night. You want to thread the needle. So go to BlueChew.com and we'll take care of you. Welcome in, you guys. This is another Panther Rants podcast, Pit Panther Rants, and other sports rants. I should say, Vlad Harris here, brought to you by Armchair Media. It's a Wednesday hump day, although I just uploaded the other podcast late last night. Excuse me. So this one may not get out until probably tomorrow or Friday, probably most likely tomorrow. As for me, I got, you know, after some, you know, jumping through the hoops, I was able to get my rental car, and which was fun. My insurance agent obviously has been returning my calls, and so I had to go dial the 1-800 number and get to an actual claims person. And they were able to get me set up. So I got my rental, and of course, not too far from where I was going to rent. They just put an In-N-Out Burger. Maybe 5 minutes down the road. So I was curious and set up to check it out. You know, I've had In-N-Out before. You know, I've been to Fort Worth several times, and In-N-Out is up in there in Dallas, Fort Worth, and Arlington. We just got two of them in Houston, and of course the lines are nuts. I've seen the videos, but you know, I figure, you know what? It's 1:30 on a Tuesday afternoon. It shouldn't be too bad, and it wasn't. I think I waited maybe like a half hour in the drive-through, and thanks to smartphones and whatnot, the wait wasn't too bad. And, you know, they pretty much had just like a Chick-fil-A drive-through where they have all the guys with the women with the tablets. They're taking the orders, and you're on your way. So, I mean, I got my double-double animal style, and I was set to go. And, you know, I'm actually debating whether I should go today again or not. But we'll see. All I know is now, you know, my car is being inspected, and of course, we're going through the investigative process. So, of course, when it gets fixed, I'll have to pay the deductible and then hopefully get it recovered. Although, recovering your deductible, depending on your situation, can be a painful one. I think for mine, it was several months before I got my deductible back. Yeah, I think it was like $250 was my deductible. This time around, it's $500, which isn't fun. But we got several things to talk about. Pitt landed 7 players on the All-ACC team. So we had the postseason awards. first team, you know, on the first team on offense, Jimmy Morrison, which was an obvious one. Hell of a player. And of course, Jalen Twyman, first team defense. That was an obvious one of how he played this year. I mean, 10 half sacks, 38 total tackles. And of course, this information I'm getting is complimentary from Panther247.com. So I rather, you know, want to at least give them the credit for where I'm getting this information. And of course, the guy who wrote this is Ed O'Brien, as he does the coverage for this. So I want to give Ed, you know, credit for this, as he pretty much breaks it down. Like, if, for instance, Jimmy Morrissey, he allowed no sacks, Pitt's top run blocker, 35 career starts at center. Jalen Twyman led the nation in sacks among defensive tackles with 10.5, 38 total tackles, 20 solo. Then, of course, Paris Ford also made first team. He led the team in total tackles, 86, 53 solo, 14 pass breakups. He forced 3 fumbles and 3 picks. On second team on defense, Dane Jackson, he had a hell of a year. He led the ACC in pass breakups and 40 total tackles. Patrick Jones, the second defensive end, 8.5 sacks, 12 tackles for a loss. He forced 4 fumbles. He counted for 18 quarterback hurries, 43 total tackles. Christ, you could have made Patrick Jones, you could make a case for him to be first team defense on that note. Third team offense, you had Bryce Hargrove and, of course, Maurice French. 84 catches, 685 yards, 3 touchdowns in 10 games. That just baffles the hell out of me. 84 catches for 700 yards. See, if there's one thing that tells you what's wrong with our offense, is that right there. It seems like we really didn't have much of a downfield passing attack. I mean, 700 yards on 84 catches? I mean, what the hell are we running here, West Coast offense? I mean, 84 catches for 685 yards is something that, you know, a running back does. A tailback. A wide receiver. Ooh. And, of course, defensive tackles, Amir Watts and Kylan Johnson, they were given honorable mention nods. Obviously, you had one snub in particular. Damar Hamlin was snubbed, and he made it known on Twitter. And, of course, we made it known on Twitter as well. Probably could have been more guys that could have gotten noticed for it. But that's just, you know, 84 catches for 700 yards. I mean, I don't know, guys. And, you know, looking at the stats issue for Pitt, I mean, we allowed more. I mean, we had a really good defense, but we allowed more points than we scored. I mean, we allowed almost 22 points a game, and we scored only 20. Mind-boggling. Rushing, we didn't do all that. You know, rushing, obviously, the numbers were down. Passing, I mean, we were averaging 6 yards per attempt. 253 yards passing a game, which isn't too shabby. I mean, that's, I think in terms of the college game, that's pretty, you know, your average norm. But looking at the individual stuff, the rushing numbers obviously were a little, were way down. In fact, our leading rusher was A.J. Davis, and he had only 549 yards on 126 carries with an average for 4.2 and 4 touchdowns. So he was averaging only 53 yards a game. Todd Sibley, who was hurt for most of the year, 8 games he had just 252 yards on 50 carries. Vincent Davis, 266 yards on 46 carries. And, of course, Bleak Carr, 271 yards on 62 carries. Then, of course, our longest run from scrimmage was 61 yards. Our opponent's longest run from scrimmage was 85. Pitt averaged 120 yards rushing a game. Our opponent averaged 106. 120 yards rushing per game isn't going to win you a lot of games, because you've got to rely heavily on the passing game at that point. So, yeah, that's – and on top of that, your quarterback, well, he ran for – well, Kenny Pickett ran for 296 yards on 8 carries. But, of course, he lost a whole bunch due to sacks. But still, yeah, you're not going to get a lot done on 120 yards a game. Passing, Kenny Pickett finished the year with 2,700 yards passing, 10 touchdowns, 9 picks, which tells you a lot right there. Although he had 2 rushing touchdowns, which really doesn't, you know, matter a whole lot. Receiving, okay, obviously Mo French led with 84 for 685 yards, which, you know, I don't know. Takes your max to 62 catches, 711 yards. These guys, they could be downfield threats. They just need somebody to throw the ball downfield to them, that can get the ball to them downfield. But we have a lot of guys around 20 catches. You know, Shockey Jockey, he had 19 catches for 208 yards. A.J. Davis, 22 catches, 264. Aaron Matthews, 13 catches for 220. Jared Wayne, 15 for 215. Nakia Griffin, 17 for 175. Velik, 16 for 173. Will Gregg, 18 for 141. So we got a whole bunch of guys with about 15 catches or more. Or 13 or more if we're really going to really fudge the numbers a bit. So, I mean, obviously, we threw the ball a lot, and we spread the ball around a good bit. But the yardage just baffles the hell out of me. I mean, I just feel that Maurice French should have been a 1,000-yard receiver. Same with Taysir Mac. I think with a certain, you know, scheme and certain quarterback, Taysir and French should have had – both these guys should have had 1,000 yards receiving, respectively. Then again, I could be wrong. Because I'm not a coach. I don't, you know, the fuck do I know? But still, sorry, I'm a little bit frustrated by this. Just reading this pisses me off. Frustrates me. So, you know, obviously the two landing spots for Pitt are going to be either the Pinstripe, which is Michigan State, or we go play Navy again, which is going to be the obvious one. Navy supposedly wants us, so I'm sure the ACC is going to just say, here, just take them. Have fun. Which is probably what's going to happen. So, we get to go to Annapolis. Hey, you know, I mean, Annapolis isn't a bad town, and Baltimore's right around. You can probably drive to, well, you know, another hour to drive to Salisbury, and another hour, and maybe Ocean City, Maryland. I mean, the weather isn't that great, but, I mean, you can check out the boardwalk. I mean, I'm sure it's a ghost town. Hell. All right. Pitt Hoops knocked off Rutgers last night, 71-60. Brandon and I came back, and of course we had a little montage, a little tribute for him. There wasn't really much acknowledgement from him. I mean, I tweeted photo of him when the scoreboard came to him, and he had it looked like, well, like whatever, you guys, you know, hire Kevin Stallings over me, so you know, whatever. I'm not acknowledging your little stupid tribute. But if anything, maybe I haven't read anything about his post game. Maybe he acknowledged it and stuff like that. And maybe he was just focused on the game itself because, you know, Rutgers was, you know, Rutgers pretty much played a shitty game when they weren't that good. Pitt, on the other hand, they got 20 from Xavier Johnson. He really tore it up last night. The X was the factor last night. Ryan Murphy, 15 points. At times, Ryan Murphy is erratic, and he could be a liability in defense, but he has a lot of energy on the floor. Trey McGowan's had 16 points. Justin Champagne, after the game he had the previous against Northwestern, had 0 points. But he had help. Eric Hamilton had 6 points, but the guy had 8 rebounds. I mean, he put in some really good minutes for us. I'll take 8 rebounds any freaking day of the week. Audis Tony, he had 10 points and even held a 3, which was surprising. And Terrell Brown had 4 points. So regardless of the gap we had with Justin Champagne, Pitt still won. Rutgers was pretty erratic for the most part. I'm not sure what their deal is, but we've always had trouble with Rutgers in the past, is what the guy from Dream Backfield mentioned. But Pitt, with wins over Rutgers, Kansas State, and Northwestern, they've got more out-of-conference wins against teams from P5 conferences than Pitt football has had in the last 4 years. As I dug through in the 4 years that are, you know, in the 4 to 5 seasons that Pat Narduzzi's been here, actually it's been 4. This was his 4th. The only win against a out of conference P5 school is Penn State, the 42-39 game. He hasn't beaten anybody else. He lost to Iowa. He's lost to Notre Dame, which you can consider, you know, a P5, because they are, you know, a power team. So I mean, there's. Then again, when it comes to out of conference schedules, Pitt never goes undefeated in non-conference play, and that's just how it is. Now, I did take a look at the Michael Saluden interview that PGH Sports Now did. The people, I guess, got a little bit, you know, they've got their feathers ruffled over it, because people are saying, why do you do this interview after the fact, how things ended? And as I read the interview, it seems that Saluden actually reached out to the site, and they did the interview. And the interview wasn't really all that bad as people thought it would be. Really, it just he explained why he made the decisions he made. And from reading the article, it seems as though him and Pat Narduzzi weren't on the same wavelength than each other. And I get, you know, sometimes it happens. I mean, he may have. We'll never get the full story about really what happened here. There's two sides. We got the one side. I doubt we'll ever hear about the other side. And somewhere there's the truth, and really, we'll never get it. But obviously, it seems though these two were on the same page for whatever reason. I'm not sure if it's personality, maybe their personalities conflict. And well, at the end of the day, he's gone, and he's moving on. And I'm sure we'll probably see him, and wherever he goes, you know, he basically wants to control his future. And there's nothing wrong with that. So he's going to do it any way he wants, and he can go anywhere. I mean, I guess he felt he should have got more playing time his freshman year after, you know, busting off what was a 40-yard run on his first carry, is what he said. Although supposedly I've been reading that it's been correct. It's supposedly it was a 23-yard run. And, you know, he just wasn't in the plans for this season. Maybe it just wasn't there. He wasn't on the same page with the coaches. I don't know. But if you look at the rest of the running backs and how they were, I'm not sure if he would have been any better than what we had. Because if he was, I'm sure the staff would have done something to keep him. But then again, I could be wrong. So, at the end of the day, he's gone. Who cares? The interview really wasn't really that much. I can understand why the editor of the site would do this interview, given how the offense sputtered towards the end and how the season ended. You gotta strike when the iron's hot. So you go and you find that you chase the lead, and that's what happened. Now, as far as the Pitt-Rutgers game goes, one thing I forgot to mention is that there's a bunch of things. We had the blackout uniforms. I made a joke that to make up for their lost inroads with the Philly recruits, Pitt sporting the Phillies logo. Duck was at the game, and I don't know, the way he was dressed, I thought he looked like he was been hanging out in Glassport or Elizabeth. I mean, no disrespect to those areas. I mean, I've been in those areas, know plenty of people there. He just looks like he has that vibe that, he's in that whole area of the Mon Valley where, Glassport, Elizabeth, yeah, that's definitely his wavelength. I mean, I'm sure he goes to the, I'm sure on the weekends he go to the Sons of Italy, if that place is even still open. I think it's now Sons and Daughters of Italy now. Because women go there too, I think. I mean, that's the last I heard. I'm not even sure if that place is even open now. But that was a big hangout on the weekend for the Mon Valley at one point. I think it was an after hours club. Or maybe it was a normal hours club. I forget. But, I mean, you go to Airways or Clancy's or wherever you're at in that area. And then you go there. But let's move along here. As you know, I talked about the championship weekend. The ACC title game is this weekend with Virginia and Clemson. UVA is 29-point dog in this game. I think they'll cover. I think they're gonna catch Dubbo slipping a little bit because he's been constantly pissed off over disrespect he got in the polls, and it happens. He blames the media for how the ACC is perceived, and yeah, it happens. I mean, the Big East used to hold up their own, and as a conference, and the media used to always dump on them, and we had the receipts to prove it. Unfortunately, in the end, we really didn't, because then when you have Cincinnati and UConn winning the conference and getting pasted in bowl games, we had really not much to stand on. But even when we had like Miami, Virginia Tech, and Boston College and Syracuse were still halfway decent teams, the Big East always took a lot of heat. So it just, rinse, repeat, whatever. Now, Pitt obviously clinched another 7-win season. Some people are, calling for Narduzzi's head. Well, not really. I mean, people are talking about the possibility of him leaving or firing him. Here's the thing. If you fire Pat Narduzzi, the next guy you hire, you're going to have to pay more for him, for one thing. And at the end of the day, you're going to probably end up with 7-8 wins anyway. So you're really just better off keeping what you have. Because it's, whoever you get's not gonna be better, unless you're Rutgers, of course, who had to shell out a whole bunch of money for Schiano. And I think people are dumping on this hire. Well, certain people are. It's a good hire because the guy, he's still in tune with the game. He's worked under Urban Meyer. The guy's got plenty of connections still. Hiring him and bringing him in is gonna make sense, and he knows. And if you think about it, he's coming in there with a clear purpose. He told the admin what his plans are, who he wants to bring in. So he's not screwing around. So you got to give him his money. And, of course, guys, you can get money too. If you go to mybookie.ag, enter the promo code CHAIR. They'll match your deposits up to $100. Put $100, get $100 back. Plenty of things to bet on. You can bet on certain props. Bet on total points score by a team. So, if Pitt's over and under is 20 points, you can bet the under or bet the over, depending on what day they had. I'm sure against BC, you would have bet the over because they scored, you were hoping BC's offense actually our defense sucks, but of course our offense made them look really good. And we only scored 19 points. So you took the over in that game. Shit, sorry for you. So go to mybookie.ag, enter a promo code, and make some money back. Now I figured we would take the rest of this podcast to look at the Steelers' remaining schedule. They've had a hell of a year. They're 7-5. And what's scary is they could have had more wins than this. They could have beaten San Francisco. They could have beaten Baltimore. They could have beaten Seattle. I mean, Christ, that's three wins there they could have had. You figure if they would, if they would have turned the tide off two of those games, you figure they're like 9-3. They could be 9-3, 8-4. But the fact he's got Tomlin's got seven wins out of this group is amazing. This week they got the Cardinals, and the Cardinals aren't that great, but they're still a competitive team. Kyler Murray's having a decent year. I mean, he's completed 64% of his passes from his 3,000 yards, 14 TDs, 6 picks. He hasn't been a world beater, but he's going to get better and better as things come along. But I'm just not sure about, how the Cardinals are going to do overall with the head coach that they have. Time will tell, but Steelers get that win. They're 8-5. Then they got the Bills, which is a night game, Sunday night, at Heinz. The Bills are good. They have a really good defense. The only problem is their offense really isn't that good, as people advertise. They just have a really good defense. I mean, Josh Allen's having a decent season, but he's not, a world beater. He's had some games where he's erratic. If he goes up against, he looks really good against bad defenses. Good defense tend to make him pretty ordinary. And then of course they got the Jets. So the Steelers right there, they got three winnable games off the bat. So at 7-5, they got to win out. They got to get these next three to get 10-5. I mean, 10's going to be your magic number as far as making the playoffs or getting that wild card spot. They close out at home against the Ravens. This game could really work out in their favor. Ravens, I'm sure. Well, it depends on how things go with home field. Do the Ravens rest Lamar Jackson? But then again, the RG3's, and it depends on what kind of day he has. But the Steelers could, on paper, they can win out if possible. They get, at home, last time they should have been the Ravens. They made Lamar Jackson pre-ordinary. They forced him to throw from the pocket, and it wasn't great. Could happen again. We'll see. But overall, I mean, they've done a hell of a job so far. I mean, you ever heard much from Juju Schuster-Smith this year? I mean, we expected him to light it up, and he really hasn't. I mean, I think I guess he lights up more on Snapchat than anything else. And plus, he's been hurt. James Conner's been hurt. I mean, they really should have a lot more losses than this. But the crazy part is they should have more wins. It's amazing. But, hey, I mean, if they make the playoffs, I think enjoy the hell out of it. That's all I can say about that. Pitt basketball has Louisville this week coming up. They're going to be playing at number one Louisville. I'm not sure how that game's going to go. We won't win it, but I'm curious to see how things go. Anyways, guys, I'm almost at the 30-minute mark, and I'm going to ramble. Don't want to do it. So I'm going to let you guys have your day. Enjoy your weekend. Hopefully you guys are recovering from the, being back from Thanksgiving. Hell to Pitt. Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.